Chapter 10. Sometimes it happens that a sadhak cannot understand his own heart. Just as a patient cannot identify his own disease, a sadhak, due to his own weaknesses and shortcomings, cannot understand the nature of his own devotional sentiment. But a qualified doctor, by taking the pulse and seeing other symptoms, can understand those things which the patient himself cannot know. He will find the root cause of the disease. Where there is a fever, the doctor will not give any medicine for the fever itself, but instead he will give medicine for the cause of the fever. An ordinary man cannot act as such a doctor. Only someone with experience is the right person. Similarly, in our bhajan, we may be unhappy. Such misfortune may come to us. Those whose very life is bhajan can reveal to us what are our weaknesses and anartas and from where they have arisen. They will give us a plan for eliminating those problems at the very root. They will say, you must hear Harigatha, and before hearing Harigatha, you must serve Gurudev with great faith. And if we respond, but in trying to serve, my mind is very restless. How will I control it? They will say, be confident. By Gurudev's grace, you will control it. Therefore, the clever, intelligent guru understands the feelings in the heart of a disciple, which even the disciple himself doesn't understand. Gop Kumar wants to ask, why is it that my heart is not satisfied here, even though I know that there is no greater place? But due to his shyness, he cannot ask this. Narad, the crown jewel of spiritual doctors, recognized the symptoms, identified the disease, and without even inquiring anything from Gop Kumar, will give the answer. He will give different levels of answers, understanding that what Gop Kumar is saying may be irrelevant to the actual root cause of the disease itself. So he will tell him some things that are valuable for sadhan, and some things for siddha, the level of perfection. If we don't give the instructions that we hear from an experienced soul a place in our hearts, and don't follow them, then not only in one or two births, but in countless millions of births, we will not attain Hari Bhakti. Understanding the inner feelings of Gop Kumar and knowing the reason for his unhappiness, Narad is telling us how we should engage in bhajan. Therefore, we must first prepare our minds to accept his line of thought. The defects that Narad will point out to Gop Kumar are actually within us, and when we make a sincere effort to eliminate these defects, then we will really be engaging in bhajan. You can take it that real bhajan will be coming soon. Vaikunta vasino hyate keshchit vai nitya parsada pare krishnasya kripaya sadhayet vam agata. Brihat Bhagavatam 2.4.194. Some of the residents of Vaikunta are nitya siddha, and some are sadhana siddha. The nitya siddhas are the eternal associates, and the sadhana siddhas are those who came later, who by the mercy of Bhagavan attained perfection by the practice of sadhana. In the service of all devotees, there is gradation. Some remain near to Bhagavan, serving him with the chamara, while others are far away, carrying out his orders. For instance, Vasishtha Rishi is serving Ramchandra in Ayodhya, and his service is saying Mangalam Bhavatu and giving blessings. He gives advice for different things, such as how to perform sacrifices and so on. Lakshman also performs different services for Ram. Once, when Ram was away, Lakshman sat with Nishadaraj and sang the glories of Ram for the entire night. In great happiness, Nishadaraj experienced ecstatic symptoms of love. Day and night, Lakshman serves Ram, and Hanuman also serves him. But when Sita serves him, then everyone else is sent outside, and they will all follow her order. In such services, there is always gradation. When trying to understand the reason for this gradation, one should not pass judgment by thinking, this service is the highest, this service is lower. In Vaikuntha, all of the servants have their uniqueness. For example, cooking is being done there also. With great prem, Ram's mother, Kaushalya, Lakshman's wife, Urmila, and Sita Devi are all cooking for Ram. Are they considered mere cooks? No. Cooking is also archan. So don't consider what is higher and lower in regard to seva. To think, I am important, and that someone else is just a cook, is aparad. There is always gradation in service, but in all of it there is prem. Maybe in one particular form of bhajan there is more prem, and in another there is less. But when you arrive in Vaikuntha, you'll find that everyone's service is extraordinary, and their prem is also extraordinary. We should understand this point. Therefore, there is no inferiority there, only gradation and speciality. Hanuman, Jambavan, Sugriva, Angada, and all others came together for the Raj Abhishek of Ramchandra. With great prem, Ram had accepted all of their service, and then began bidding them farewell. He called Sugriva and placed a beautiful garland of jewels around his neck. Ram embraced him and said, I am indebted to you. If not for you, if you hadn't gone searching for Sita, then we wouldn't have had ultimate success. Therefore, remain in the kingdom and enjoy the fruits of your service. Sometimes I will call for you to come and see me, or I will come to you myself. While Ram was bidding them farewell, there were tears in the eyes of everyone. He called them one by one, and meeting with them, he gave cloth to some, to others he gave ornaments, and to others he gave something else. But where had Angada hidden? Why had he hidden? He was thinking, when he calls me, then I will have to go, but I don't want to leave him. Ram bid farewell to all, and Angada remained hidden. Then Ram said, where has Angada gone? He was hiding behind Hanuman, because he knew that Ram wouldn't call Hanuman to bid him farewell. Ram had called everyone else, so why didn't he call Hanuman? The reason was that in the home of Sugriva, there was a wife and there were children. So Ram told Sugriva, now you must return to them. Angada had his mother, but Hanuman had left everything. All others had their objects of love, and together with that, they had bhakti for Ram also. Everyone had other points of affection, but Hanuman had no other point of affection. His only object of service was the feet of Ram. He didn't even have his own hut. All others had their family, or their kingdom, or their building, or their position in society. Jambavan had his cave in Vindhyanchala mountain. So Ram told him, go please, your wife is there. But if he had said to Hanuman, you go, then Hanuman would say, Prabhu, where will I go? I have not made a hut anywhere. You are my mother and my father also. You are my everything. Your feet are my only residence. I have nothing else besides you. Ramachandra saw that Hanuman was a Kinchana, whereas all the others were not. So as long as there is another point of affection besides Krishna in our bhajan, then he will say, "All right, you go," and send us back to the place from which we have come. He sent back the wives of the brahmanas who had left their homes, husbands and sons and daughters. But although some of the gopis had husbands and even sons and daughters, upon meeting Krishna, their attachment for them was washed away from their hearts forever. As long as we remain a kinchana, there will be no attachment to a mother or anyone else, and we will not be ordered to return. Bhajanananda samyapi beda kaschit prakalpyate bhayantarine bhavena dura parsva statida. Brihat Bhagavatam 2.4.195. The Bhajanananda, the happiness derived from serving Bhagavan, is the same for all of his eternal associates. But some consider that there is a difference between serving him from a position near to him and serving him from a distance. When a Kanishta Adhikari devotee engages in bhajan, he thinks, "There is no one like me. I am getting so much happiness from my bhajan. I am so impressive." Another man who is playing mridanga is thinking, "I am playing the mridanga in so many ways, and a very beautiful melody is coming. I am playing so nicely." The kartel player is also thinking in this way, and the man who is singing is feeling that there is great happiness in all of this. But when there will be some consideration of gradation, then we will understand that simply playing the mridanga and kartels nicely do not constitute genuine kirtan. Why do we play the kartels? Day and night, a party may be continuously playing golden, polished kartels and mridangas very, very nicely, while in another place there is one man alone and without mridanga or kartel is sitting and chanting, "Gurudev, Kripa Bindu Diya Koro Edase Trinapeka Ahatina Sakala Sahane Baladiya Koro Nijamane Sprihahina Sakale Samana Korite Shakati Dehonata Jata Jata Tavitaga ibo harinama suke haparada habehata Gurudev. Sharanagati. Gurudev, please give this servant of yours a drop of your mercy, which will make him realize that he is more insignificant than a piece of straw. Give me the strength to tolerate all difficulties, and please make me devoid of all desires for personal prestige. Only when you have given me the ability to properly respect all living beings will all my offenses cease, and I will be able to sing Hari Nam in great happiness." With great feeling he is singing it, and with his bodily limbs shivering and tears flowing from his eyes. So between the happiness of all those mridanga and kartel players and that of the one lone man performing kirtan with such feeling, will there be some distinction? Very much so. The lone man's chanting is real kirtan, and that kirtan that has very beautiful mridanga notes, a beautiful melody, and has everyone involved in it, but is devoid of even a little genuine devotion, is something else entirely. Therefore, in kirtan, since sentiment is necessary, and just as in bhajan there is gradation, in archan there is also gradation. One man is offering archan with a pure sentiment. One man is offering archan without any such sentiment. And another man who blasphemes Vaishnavas is also offering archan to the deity. Will it all be equal? No. In the spiritual realm, also there is gradation in the service of the eternal associates of Bhagavan. Just as one servant brings flowers, another makes a garland, another hands the garland to Lakshmi Devi, another prepares food, and another offers it. In this way, there is gradation. One is serving near to him, and others are serving from further away. If the one who is serving near to him thinks that those who are serving from farther away are inferior, he is mistaken. The bhav or sentiment is the important thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant, Govinda Das, may think that Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda are only servants who remain at a distance from the Lord, and who only come for a few minutes or an hour to make Mahaprabhu cry. Govinda Das himself wipes away the tears of Mahaprabhu, and then they come and make him cry again. So he may think, why do they have to come and make him cry again? Govinda Das is always saying to the Lord, Prabhu, please don't cry. Then Swarup Damodar will come and make him cry again. So what will Govinda Das think? Therefore, it is not that the servant who is nearer is necessarily better. In this case, the servants that remained further away from Mahaprabhu are higher. It is not a question of the physical proximity or distance, but of the heart's nearness to or distance from. That service to Hari, Guru, and the Vaishnavas, in which there is the most love, is the best. When the four Kumaras arrived at Vaikuntha, the gatekeepers there, Jai and Vijay, raised their sticks and said, "You cannot enter." Thinking that they were the masters there, they prohibited the four Kumaras from entering. Should those doormen have thought that since the Kumaras had come from a long distance, they couldn't have known that it was the time that Prabhu takes rest? The Kumaras knew everything. They came in humility with folded hands, but they knew everything. Jai and Vijay didn't understand the feelings and the prema that the Kumaras have for Bhagavan. Is it like this only sometimes? Most of the time, it is like this. One who is serving near to the Lord or near to Gurudev cannot understand the devotional sentiment of those who are serving at a distance. Therefore, we should be careful not to think so highly of ourselves, and we should always remember the misfortune that came upon Jai and Vijay. We should understand how to behave properly and how to avoid being arrogant. Generally, these things are said for those practicing sadhana, but even in the state of perfection, this can happen. This incident occurred in Vaikuntha, but it is for giving instruction to those of us performing sadhana. In any situation, we should never have a mood of disrespect towards Vaishnavas, nor should we ever speak ill of Vaishnavas. Krishna has so many eternal associates, and they all have their uniqueness. They are so many incarnations and sources of incarnations of Bhagavan, and they all have their associates. But Krishna's associates are more special than them. More special than the devotees of Nrisimha and all other incarnations. The devotees of other incarnations serve their Lord with humility and folded hands. But Krishna's devotees sometimes fight and quarrel with him and display maan, jealous anger. Such a bhav is found in their service, and therefore they are greater. Vadanti kechchid Bhagavan hi Krishna su satchid ananda ganaika murti sa yat parang brahma pare tu sarve tat parasad brahmanye vimuktaha. Brihat Bhagavatam 2.4.200. Some say that Krishna and his many incarnations are all one in tattva, although there is some gradation and speciality in rasa and manifestation of shakti. That is all right. In their associates, there is the same uniqueness, but will we take it that some of these associates are inferior? Don't think in this way. Whether they are Nitya Siddha or Sadhana Siddha devotees, it says here that they are all fully eternally liberated. Some say that Krishna is Parabrahm. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Anadi Aditi Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. Brahma Samhita 5.1. They say that he is Parabrahm and that all of his associates are Brahm Swarup. In some places it has been stated like this, and this is also not incorrect. What is Brahmananda? The Ananda of the Jiva is called Brahmananda. The Jiva has been called Brahm, but the Jiva has not been referred to as Parabrahm. Parabrahm is Krishna. We don't consider that Brahm and Parabrahm are one and put them in the same class. We consider the Jiva to be the servant. Dasoshmi, dasoshmi. The scriptures say, Brahma evam bhavati. In the Gita, there is Vishate tad anantaram. And there are also similar verses in the Bhagavatam. In Puri, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came to have hatred for Brahmavad. But not all liberation is worthy of hatred. Mukti can also mean attaining service at the feet of Bhagavan. But Sarvabhauma despised the word mukti, and he also despised referring to the jiva as Brahm. Hearing this line of thought, Gop Kumar asked Narad a question. Prishtam mayedam Bhagavan dare tale, tishtanti ya Shri Pratima Mahaprabho, ta satchit ananda ganas taya mata, niladri nata purushottama yataha. Ekopi Bhagavan Sandra, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Kripaya Tatra Tatraste, Tat Tad Rupena Lilaya. Brihat Bhagavatam 2.4.202.203. In this world, there are many Vigrahas of Bhagavan. In Puri, there are Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. In Sri Rangam, there is Ranganath. And in those places, they are being worshipped. There, whether the prasad is cooked or uncooked, its acceptability is not considered. Those deities are established there to mercifully give darshan to the people of this world. Gop Kumar is asking, Prabhu, there are so many forms of Bhagavan in this world, like Jagannath and Ranganath and many other deities. In what way should we respect them? Are they all solidified forms of Satchit Ananda? By offering puja to any of them, will it be considered offering puja to Bhagavan? There are so many Vigrahas in this world, and all are Satchit Ananda. For showing mercy to the devotees, the one Bhagavan is situated in many different forms as his pastime. But we are not able to serve him directly. If we try to serve him, just as Lakshmi Devi is serving Narayan, as the gopis are serving Krishna, and as Prahlad Maharaj is serving Narsingadev, at some point we will say, Prabhu, the time to take rest has long passed. Half the night I have remained without sleep. I am feeling very sleepy. So Bhagavan will say, then you go and sleep. And we will have to go and take rest. If the deity were to speak and express his desire, massage my feet. This food has not been prepared properly. Make it like this. We would become easily discouraged. We want to serve according to our own desire. If we have not even served according to the desire of our guru, if we could not follow him properly, then how will we serve Bhagavan directly? If we are placed directly in front of Bhagavan and he says, "Do this service for me," can we do it? Could we do anything and everything he asked us at any time? We are not able to. Therefore, the deity remains silent. However much service we offer, he just remains silent. So Bhagavan has assumed all these forms for giving mercy to the devotees. He understands that by no other means will we be able to serve him in our conditioned state. So he becomes the Vigraha, remains silent, and in the end he just accepts our pranams. For this reason he has manifested these Vigrahas. There are many different types of ruchi in the jivas. So to accept service from them, according to their ruchi, he has assumed different forms. Some will serve in Dasyaras, some in Sakya, and some in Vatsalya. Why has Krishna become Ladu Gopal? Because then many people can worship him as their son. When women become old and their offspring have all grown up, they still desire to render the service of a parent. Women are so inclined towards serving children that they not only will forget about serving their husbands, they will even engage the husband in the service of the children. The wife will say to her husband, "Help me a little with the children. Catch that child. Bring some milk for the children. The children are sick. Call the doctor for them. Take the children to school." The sentiment of serving children is Vatsalya Bhav. So for them, Krishna has become Bala Gopal. For others, he becomes something else. But all these Vigrahas are eternal. To accept service, Krishna has become the deity and assumed many forms. But he doesn't speak. If he spoke, then we couldn't serve him. At 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the night, he may feel cold and require some service, when his servant is in deep sleep. So what would happen if he always expressed his desire? Therefore he remains silent and accepts our service. But if we suppose that he says nothing because he knows nothing, that is an offense. He doesn't speak or move, but we should understand that he sees everything. He knows the true scope of what we do, and we must accept the reaction to whatever we do. Therefore, in front of Thakurji, we shouldn't spread our legs, talk too much, become angry at anyone, or show unusual affection for anyone. Before Thakurji, don't offer pranam to anyone, and don't speak too loudly. All these things should be given careful attention. If in the deity's room there is fighting and arguing, and the pujari goes to do the puja with an agitated mind, that will be offense. With a disturbed mind, we should not do the deity's puja. But he remains silent anyway. We take it that he sees nothing. But he is very merciful, and sometimes doesn't even accept the offenses of his devotees. Those who leave other types of sadhana to perform archan of the deity will benefit. But Gop Kumar is saying to Narad, who is the very founder of puja, "Prabhu, in some places in the scriptures it is written that there are some who are offering archan to the deity but are disrespecting devotees. Archaryam evaharaye pujangya shadayayate. Na tad bhakteshu chanyeshu sa bhaktaha prakritaha smritaha." Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.47. A devotee who worships the deity in the temple with faith but does not properly respect other devotees or people in general is called a materialistic devotee and is included within the lower class of devotees. Yomam sarveshu bhuteshu santam atmanam ishvaram hitvarcham bhajate modyad bashmane eva jota sa. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.28. 29:22. One who worships the deity in the temple but does not know that Bhagavan in the form of Paramatma is situated in every living entity's heart is in ignorance and is compared to one who offers oblations of ghee onto ashes. Krishna is situated within each and every jiva. There is no soul where there is not Bhagavan. Yet in many scriptures, such as Narada's own Bhakti Sutra, the Narada Pancharatra, and others, it is stated that there are people who worship the deity in the temple, but insult and disrespect other living entities and even blaspheme Vaishnavas as they are carrying on their puja. Apparently, they are very strict. If a mango has mistakenly been put in an unclean place, or if someone has seen it and desired to taste it, then they throw that mango away and it won't be offered to the deity. At the time of cooking, they cover their faces with cloth, and at the time of kneading dough, there will be no speaking. They honor all of these principles, but they disrespect devotees. They pass judgment on whether devotees are higher or lower. And thus it is written that the archan of these people are offering to the deity is like the pouring of ghee onto ashes. And furthermore, Aham uchavai dravyai kriya yotpan anangrahe naiva tusye richto richyam bhuta gama vanaminha. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-24. O sinless mother, even if someone worships the deity with all the proper rituals and various kinds of paraphernalia, I am never pleased by a person who is ignorant of my presence in all living entities. All souls are the residents of Bhagavan. Especially here, this instruction is being spoken for devotees. Those who perform exclusive bhajan of Bhagavan must not insult any living entity. We are insulting others, but so nicely we are performing archan. Even if we are giving all respect to Vaishnavas, still Bhagavan will not be satisfied. There will still be offenses because respect is not being given to all souls. Pratima manda buddhinam. Those of small intelligence are offering this type of archana puja. In another place, it is also said, Archye Vishnu Shiladir Gurur Sho Naramatir Vaishnave Jati Buddhi Vaishnarava Vaishnavanam Kalimala Matena Padatirta Ambu Buddhi. There are those who consider that Bhagavan is in the deity. Yes, inside different things there is gradation in the degree of Bhagavan's presence, but they don't consider that the Shila is Bhagavan himself. They also think that the Charanamrita of Bhagavan, which dispels the influence of Kali Yuga, is ordinary water. And they further consider that the object of archan, the deity, is sometimes composed of second-class marble, whereas in another place there is a deity composed of first-class marble. They consider, oh, this deity at Govardhan is very beautiful, but the deities we see in the temple of Vrindavan are not this beautiful. Here Krishna's nose is a little straighter, his eyes are a little longer, and this is very good. Bhagavan does not accept puja from such people who think like this. They also consider the dust of the feet of Vaishnavas to be ordinary dust, and the foot water of the Vaishnavas to be ordinary water. They have faith in the holy places and the water there, but in the Charanamrita of Vaishnavas, they don't have the same faith. They place their faith in the skin and blood of the material body, which is destined to perish. The soul is inside every type of body, but they don't understand that the Atma is a dear part of Bhagavan. It doesn't matter that the soul is bound within a material body. its intrinsic form is as a servant of Bhagavan. Therefore, it should be respected. Respect is given on different levels, so we should give appropriate respect to all others. And what is the position of he who doesn't do this? Sa eva go karaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.13. Go means animal, and graha means donkey. Don't take it that here go means cow. A cow is a very pure thing. It means such a person is no better than an animal, and the most foolish of the animals is the donkey. Gop Kumar is asking Narad, Prabhu, why has this been stated in the Shastras? Please explain this. Some of the Murti worshippers have been referred to like this. But you said that those who perform archan are the most fortunate. How can this be harmonized? An ordinary person cannot harmonize it. And even a lower level Madhyam Adhikari devotee cannot harmonize it. Only a middle or higher level Madhyam Adhikari, who is conversant with the scriptures and who has attained the mercy of Gurudev, can grasp all of this. And because Narad is the original founder of the regulations of the path of puja, and also the foremost preacher of that path, who could possibly know this tattva better than him? Thus ends chapter 10 of Going Beyond Vaikuntha. Thank you.